I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word. It's gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh? Out of school and out of control. Set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold. And going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't wanna be told. I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown when a voice from within said, save your soul. No, I didn't want to be told. Things were looking up and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy and a Romeo, and anywhere I went I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold and an overinflated ego. I was a dead man, but I didn't know until a voice from within said, save your soul. And I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto. Where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'd be going with the flow. But what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow. You were round, and I was going down. Right down, with my face in the ground. Two hands bound to a siren sound. None of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone. A voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be. If I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before. Believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow if you will be my bow. And anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive and with a will to strive. I began to rise from 79, or was it 75? When reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated. To the point where I decided to chat the mic. But my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world of sin, it's no surprise. So with the media, I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites advertise their lies through their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise. Yeah, wise up, no compromise. And listen to the voice that resides within your mind. Cause God has sent a guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below. It's up to you to save your soul.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Monday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio and our brand new show, Safety First. Am I saying it right, Tracy?
Sure, Safety First.
Safety First is Murphy's Law with Tracy Murphy, and featuring the soul and the presence that I know will always be with us. And that is Miss Susan Murphy Milano. So, Tracy, thank you so much. And it's been a long day. We've been on the phone all day talking about this. So welcome, welcome. How do you like it?
Thank you. Well, I'm really, really excited about the show today. And I think we have a ton of things to talk about. So let's get started.
Okay, well, let me share just a little bit. And again, I'm really excited about this show. My name is Maria DiGiovanni, and I have a little bit of a history and a background when it comes to law enforcement, officer involved, domestic violence, and sexual assault. And that is how I became connected with Susan Murphy Milano. And we all know, and if we don't, Tracy is going to share a little bit about who Susan Murphy Milano was and why she is such a big part of this whole journey that we're on. But because of Susan, Tracy and I connected through Delilah. And lo and behold, some pieces to an amazing puzzle are coming together. And law enforcement officer-involved domestic violence is very close to my heart. I'm all about raising awareness and promoting education and seeking justice when it comes to it. Why? Because our children are being hurt, and it needs to stop. And this isn't about pointing fingers on who has a problem. This is about understanding that it's all of our problem. And the perpetrators and the victims and our children are all in the middle of it in a weird kind of crazy way. So, Tracy, I am blessed that you're going to be able to elevate and empower those women who are out there that are absolutely, and don't trust me when I tell you, they are absolutely frightened to open their mouths. So they cannot. So I know that you are going to be stepping into some really huge shoes, making sure that we do speak out and speak for those women that cannot speak. So why don't you tell the audience, as I introduce Tracy Murphy to our incredible listening audience, both in our archives and live. And I would also like you, Tracy, to introduce who you have as our guest chat room host today. And then I want you to bring the news to who our special guest next week will be. So, Tracy Murphy, why don't you introduce who you really are to our audience? Because you're a blessing from heaven. And so take it away.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. And my passion is to educate victims, educate survivors, and educate first responders, too. And like you said, there are so many facets to abuse, whether it's adults, children, domestic violence, intimate partner, officer-related. But what I think is really important is our safety. And so for me, what I found is my safety through a woman named Susan Murphy Milano, who is out there educating people like us that want to survive, want to get out, get safe, and move on and move forward. And it's not as easy as one thinks. You can't just get up and go. So I'd like to do my best to be able to provide tools and help other people to establish their own personal safety to move forward in their lives. So Susan Murphy Milano created quite a few books, but a tool and a guide. And we can talk about more of that later in the show. And today I'd like to bring on a really special guest and somebody that I've known for a long time and actually worked together with an organization that she started called Voices Amplify. And what she does is brings awareness to child abuse, domestic violence, and provides resources for people that are out there struggling to survive. And her name is Star Myers. She's an author of two books, Star. Are you there?
Hold on one second. That's my problem. Her area code. What is her area code? Do we know it? Oh, here we go. Sorry about that, Star. My problem. Oh, do me a favor. Turn the volume down on your computer. There you go, Star. Hold on. Let me... Okay, yeah, if you have your volume up on your computer and you're going to be coming on the radio show, turn the volume off on your computer and then there'll be no background noise. Let's try it again. Yeah. Okay, Star, are you there?
Yes, Star, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Welcome. I'm so glad you joined us on our show today. And I was just talking about Voices Amplify and explaining a little bit about that and the books that you have written. And I wanted you to be able to tell us the title because I'm sorry, I don't have them. I have the Face Behind the Mask.
Yes.
Is the one book. And what was the other one?
The Searching Soul.
The Searching Soul. And those are two really special books that are close to your heart that are a lot about your story and your life. Is that right?
Yes. The Face Behind the Mask is actually the story of my daughter's abuse and the long trail it took to get out of it.
And then it ends
with her finally being free and overcoming it.
Wow.
And that was thanks to, actually, Susan Murphy Milano played a lot of part in that. I was introduced to her, and she became friends with my daughter, and they texted back and forth and shared each other's stories.
Isn't that amazing? And your daughter now is older. She's a teenager.
Yes.
Wow, that's quite empowering. And so the organization, Voices Amplified, what exactly do you do? I see that you provide the resources for people along with education but your daughter is also involved, isn't she?
Yes, and she actually had a teen radio show for a while. For about a year, she hosts her own teen show.
And the artwork on your voices for your Voices Amplified, isn't that your daughter's artwork?
Yes, that was her drawing and her logo, and she came up with the title because she felt like when she went through this, a lot of law enforcement and lawyers and guardian ad litems and judges and DAs and, you know, they all made her promises and none of them kept the promises. And she kind of felt left behind. So Voices Amplified was about leaving no one behind and no one ever feeling as alone as she felt.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? And she was a child and searching for help and couldn't find it from the law enforcement either. Well,
yes.
She's a strong lady, isn't she?
Yes.
What a good mom. So with Voices Amplified, hold on just a minute. You have a Facebook page that people can go to, right?
Yes.
To check it out? Okay, that's really great. Also, what was I going to say? The evidentiary abuse affidavit, was it something that you used with the previous abuse that you had to experience?
Yes, actually with my daughter, Susan helped her create one.
Really? What? So she was able to create her, and then what did that do for her? Did it give her some sort of empowerment and knowledge?
It was empowering. It gave her hope that somebody was listening, that if something happened, her voice would still be heard. It made her feel like somebody cared what was going on with her and that one way or another she would get through this. And
that's really great. She's just a remarkable girl. And what an inspiration to so many others, because it seems like, you know, after the abuse or after you get away and you're trying to survive, the support is really important. And,
yes, it is.
And that's where Voices Amplified is a place for support for whether you're younger or older, in the abuse or out of the abuse.
Tracy.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tracy, for coming on the show.
Yeah? Tracy, this is Maria. I actually have a question for Star. Star, again, I think I missed it. How old was your daughter when this all happened?
9 months old when it started.
Okay, and then when she took the initiative to understand that she wasn't getting supported, how old was she?
She was 11.
11. And tell me, as a mother who is watching her child go through all this, can you share with the audience what that was like? Because you were pretty much silenced as her mother since she was actually the one going through this, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so can you share with our audience how you felt, your responses, just anything that you can think of? What was it like?
I felt like I failed her. I felt like I should have known. I mean, this is her dad. This is the man I chose to have my child with, and I should have known better because he was abusive to me, and for some reason I still believed that he would not hurt her. Even though he had hurt me, I mean, I was pregnant with her, and he threw me down a flight of steps, and I stayed, and I should have left, and I looked back, and if I could change choices, I would have, because I felt like if I had made different decisions, she wouldn't have been stuck, and then my past came back to haunt me, because of his abuse to me, and no one believing that, they automatically did not believe her, because she must be lying because I lied, because no one believed he would do it.
And didn't you have a custody battle that went on where she had she was forced to live with him?
She was never forced to live with him, but she was forced to go to visitation. First, I got a restraining order because there was enough evidence of sexual abuse and physical abuse. There were bruises. There was DNA. There was
And they were still awarding him custody or awarding him visitation.
Yes, because we went to court and he overturned the restraining order, which actually is illegal because you can't overturn one. He overturned it by having some doctors say he passed a sexual predator test. So he couldn't have done it. So she must have injured herself with a crayon in a bathtub, was their excuse. So she ended up going back, which was hard because I'd watch her go back and I couldn't breathe. When she was gone, I could not breathe. I was scared for her life because he had said he would kill her. He told her in detail how he would kill her. And every time she was gone, I couldn't breathe. I felt like part of me was gone, and I would count down the minutes, and I'd watch the door, and I'd watch the clock. And when she got back, I could breathe again. But then she would tell me that this or that happened, and I'd go to the judge, and he's like, I don't really want to hear it until you have proof. So I had to sit idly by and watch her be abused until I had enough proof to be able to go back to court. And then he got supervised visitation with his mother, who was in the house when she was being abused and never stopped it. And he would do things like come up and he'd smack her, and his mom would just stand right there and watch. Or he'd tell her he was going to kill her, and then his mother would take him out of town to a hotel and be like, I did it just as I can. And it was
so
a hotel where
what did it take for documentation when you say that because you didn't have proof, they wouldn't go any further? What did it finally take for you to be able to gather the right kind of information and proof, as you were saying?
She had therapy records. She's went to therapy since she was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She had reports from school because when she was about six and they discussed bad touch, good touch, she's like, yeah, my dad touched me here and I didn't really like it. And the school called me and they reported it, but social services claimed they never got those reports. But then they had to send a letter back to the school because they're mandated reporters telling them how
mm-hmm.
they dealt with it. So then mm-hmm. I went and got that from the school, and I'm like, oh, you didn't get it? Well, here's copies of three different reports from the school. And
interesting.
That still didn't help. We had to have a guardian ad litem, and I had to try to prove that what he was saying was true, or what she was saying was true. And doctor's reports, medical reports, they wouldn't let me get a stain exam, so I couldn't get physical evidence after the first rape test. Because in our state, if social services does not recommend a stain exam, you can't get one until they're 18. So I couldn't get physical evidence, even though I had taken her to the doctor with, and I'm sorry this is going to be graphic, but blood actually coming out of her vagina because whatever had happened was so physically horrendous that she was bleeding from it. And I couldn't get an exam to prove anything. So it was like, okay, well, it's her word against his. I'm like, okay, that's not fair. But she finally, Susan helped, and we compiled all the documents that I had, and I had years of doctor's reports, therapy reports, school saying, you know, she came to school and this is how she was, this is what she said. I mean, she told everyone for years and no one could do anything, and she finally tried to kill herself.
Oh my gosh.
Then the judge comes to me and says, oh, I think I failed her.
Oh, interesting.
And, but it's sad. So it's like, okay, now you care because she was going to die.
Mm-hmm. But then had you been creating this documentation up until then at that point too?
Yes, I documented on the calendar every single day she came back from there what she said. She came home with choke marks and she didn't know how she got them. So I talked to a strangulation expert who told me that he had choked her in her sleep and he choked her to the point of unconsciousness. So I had reports from her and documentation from her.
Isn't that amazing, though, that we have to go to that extent to just for us to survive and for us to be able to find any sort of justice? It seems so unfair, but you know, that's where a mother like you, who has done that and created this documentation, it saved her life.
Yeah.
You know, I really feel that by connecting with Susan and the knowledge that you've gained from this, and as well as your daughter, it was life saving. Yeah.
Yes.
The documentation is so important, and understanding what to document. I mean, we don't really know. How do we know what is important to document, especially when we're accustomed to certain types of abuse where we think it's normal. And so learning how to document it was probably a big part. And I that's what I found with myself, too, in my case, is although all of these things had happened, I didn't document or I didn't know how to document, which ended up costing me, you know, a lot. And that's where the passion is just, it's overwhelming for me to educate and help these people that are like us, that feel stuck, that don't know, you know, how to actually get your point across, get your voice heard.
Yes, because there's a fine line on how you get your voice heard. I mean, if you're female, and I'm sorry, but if we yell, you're just psycho. If you cry, you're dramatic. So you have to be, you know, if you don't have a facial expression, you're unfeeling.
Right.
You have to be clear. And the big thing Susan taught me was that you have to start with the most important stuff first. Don't say, he threw my library book across the room. Yeah, that might be important, but that's not the most important thing. You know, she said, start with the most horrendous thing. Get their attention. So I started my emails, very strong-worded there. They were extreme.
Uh-huh.
People were like, yeah. It's life or death. Call me back.
Get their attention.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that, and actually, when Susan was helping you, this was before she had created the actual evidentiary abuse affidavit, I believe, wasn't it? Because that was like in 2010. So she was already using these skills to help victims prior to her actually creating that, the tool that's out there that you can actually buy in her book and the app out there. Wow.
Now that comes from the passion from, you know, her mom dying from domestic abuse and no one caring because he was a cop.
Right. Right.
I mean, that was reported over and over and everyone knew, and no one did anything. And,
you know, in fact, Susan, I'll never forget when she told me about this story when she set the backyard on fire to get the attention because she couldn't get the help from the police department. And, you know, if his partner came up, he would tell her that, you know, not to talk. And she ended up setting the house on fire, or the backyard on fire, I think it was the shed, thinking, okay, well, if the police aren't going to help me, maybe the fire department would help me. And I just can't imagine the fear that a child experiences to have to go to that extent because they're not being heard.
I agree. I think a lot of times children go to that extreme, though. I mean, you watch them and you're like, why would they do that? Well, they're doing that because they want attention. They want someone to notice that something is wrong and do something about it.
That's right.
And I always tell kids, you teach them when they're younger that if you don't like something, to report it. But the one thing that they're not told is if that person doesn't do something about it, keep reporting.
That's right. Well, right. And
because you keep going
until
someone listens.
That's right, whether it's a teacher, counselor, a friend, parent, anything to start getting the word out there. But then that's the other place where the evidentiary abuse affidavit comes in handy, too, because it is all about the documentation. And, you know, there should be a kid's book, a kid's version of the evidentiary abuse affidavit.
I think that's an amazing idea, yes.
Yep, that little light just came on. Maybe something that's a little bit more simple to understand, that they could follow that little guideline of how to document, you know, the abuse if they're feeling unsafe in their home, you know, because a lot of times kids won't talk because they don't want to get their parent in trouble.
And a lot of times people do know, like that girl who was caged up in the South. They caged her up every day and chained her in there, and they would not feed her. And years went on. And finally, after she died, everyone's like, oh, we knew about it. We were going to report it, but we didn't want to get involved because it was kind of their business. And it's like, had she done an EAA, that might have gotten the parents prosecuted because
right.
that would have been her word, which would have been evidence
court
hearing.
In fact, you know, this case that's going on right now, the Brett Seacat trial. I don't know if you've heard about this, but he's a trainer for police officers, for law enforcement. I believe he's a former cop. And he's on trial right now for murdering his wife. Well, he's claiming that it was a suicide and that she killed herself and set the house on fire. But amazingly, He was able to get in the house, get the kids, and get them out, but not her. And it's one of those cases that had she also known how to document the abuse and create an evidentiary abuse affidavit, you know, maybe it wouldn't have saved her life, maybe it would have, But if it hadn't saved her life, this case would never have gone to trial. This guy
right.
would have
her
been
words,
convicted.
Yes, her words would have been heard.
And so I just find it fascinating how these cases, when they're so obvious, they can present some sort of a defense and they can get off. And I really do not want to see that happen with this one. This one is just the gunshot. Apparently, there was a gunshot before the fire broke out, and so they're not finding any like soot or anything in her lungs, which is saying that she died before the fire broke out. Where he's saying that she set the fire and then killed herself. So I see it going in the right direction. It can. It has potential of going into the right direction. But had there been an evidentiary abuse affidavit created, a video created, this would be slam dunk.
Absolutely.
You know, it breaks my heart because then, too, you see the family, you know, in the trial that have to go through this, have to pull all this stuff up. And just the amount of money that taxpayers would save, the pain and suffering from the families that it would save. And, and this is known. You know, that these cases are happening every single day. And there's got to be more that we can do to stop them.
I think that's the worst part is, you know, they show the cases, and I'm glad they get publicity, but the fact is it's every day, everywhere. And those cases are just the tip of what's really going on out there.
Well, exactly, exactly. And then depending on which, you know, where the media is going to go with it, you know, then if people get kind of they're only one-sided, and that I don't think is, it's just, I don't like the way that happens. I think that people need to learn how to document their abuse, learn how to protect themselves, and prevent these cases from getting out of control like they do, like we see on the media and all over the place.
Yes,
but,
because anything in writing that you document is considered evidence. Anything you tell someone is hearsay, unless, of course, they're an expert witness, like your therapist.
Right, right. And that's where, too, the same thing with this whole video. You know, you get that victim speaking into a video. It's them. There's nobody saying it for them. It's them. And how
yes.
can you deny that? Right.
And when you use the evidence you have in the video, you show your documents and you add all that to it. Yeah.
So
and this can be done on the iPhone now.
That's right. That's right. The app, it makes everything so much simpler. There's a lot to know. The Times Up book has all the information, but so does the app. And you're going to have to be able to read that. To get all the detailed information. But the best part about it is that you can record your testimony and forward it immediately to your safe person who you want to have it, whether it's law enforcement or somebody in your family or your counselor or therapist. And it takes it out of your hands. It puts it in a safe place. And let's say that way, you know, if by chance your abuser gets to your phone or going through your stuff, you don't have this lying around, you know, and that's the biggest part is protecting yourself while you're doing this, because this is the most dangerous time when we're in a situation. And, you know, that's the interesting thing about this case that I was discussing, the Brett Decat case. The wife, her name is Vashti Forrest, and she had told friends, and she was in fear that he was going to burn the house down. He threatened he was going to kill her and burn the house down, which eventually is what happened. Unfortunately, I bet you anything that testimony won't be allowed in court because it is hearsay. But, oh, my gosh, I'm losing my train of thought. What was I going to say?
That's actually a great time to take a break right now, Tracy. So let's take a break, and we'll say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
All right. That sounds good.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Okay, take it away, Tracy.
Back to what we were saying. So are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I've completely lost track of what we were saying, so if you remember, please go ahead. But otherwise, I wanted to tell everybody where they can find you in between, and I was going to post your link. Maybe you can post that in the chat room for everybody.
Okay.
Your Voices Amplified Facebook page.
Oh, I put the website on there.
Oh, there you go, website. Perfect. Perfect, in which people can find you. So anyway, back to what we were saying about the domestic violence, or about the evidentiary abuse affidavit, and you being one that has actually used it in your own case, what would you say to other people that are saying, well, you know, I really don't want to, you know, I don't really want to go into all that trouble. I don't want to, you know, do the work, because it isn't something that just takes a few minutes to do. It takes time, and going to, you know, the extent of retrieving all the documents, as well as creating the video, as well as getting it notarized, it is a lot. But would you say that it's worth every bit of the work that you would have to do to complete this?
Absolutely. You have to, I know that when you're in a situation like that and you're being abused, you want to give up. You've been emotionally abused as much as physically or any other kind of abuse, and that does damage. You start to believe what your abuser says, and you don't feel worthy. You don't feel like you should. You feel like no one cares, no one will listen. You deserved it. It was your fault. And you don't want to do the work, but you have to. You deserve better. No one should be abused.
Right.
And
right.
You need to take the step
accountability.
To become a survivor.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And by creating something like this, it gives you a real sense of empowerment. That you know that you've done, you know, everything you can to protect yourself.
Yes. I think you need to give up.
And then about what do you think about law enforcement and how they can use this tool when they're investigating cases or when they have a case? Wouldn't you agree how the investigators and prosecutors would really benefit with having this nice, sealed up, pretty little package all ready for them?
Yes. yes, absolutely, because I think that if you haven't been in a situation or you haven't witnessed it, I think everyone has their own bias in their own way. If you've been abused, you're biased to understanding people who have. If you've never been through it, I think you find it hard to believe that it really happens, because it sometimes it can be a very far-fetched story. I mean, some of the things that happen
really
are
in,
crazy.
Right, or you're really in the danger that you are in. I think that's the hardest part, too, is accepting it, the fact that you are in danger. And, you know, a domestic violence call to the police, they come out and they can give you some resources. But I feel like if law enforcement had some sort of a protocol to go about handling the case when they come out, giving them the information of what they need to do would really benefit them, make their lives a lot easier, as well as get it known out there to these victims, because they don't know what to do. Like you said,
right.
you didn't know what to do at first.
Absolutely,
right.
Because at first people don't tell anyone. You're embarrassed, you're humiliated. You don't want people to know that either you let this happen, which is what you think, or that
mm-hmm.
this is happening. I mean, you feel sick, dirty, you don't want to tell anyone. And officers don't know what to say to you. A lot of times in my area, they come out, you say nothing happened, and they leave. Well,
mm-hmm.
if they have a protocol and they know the signs and they know what to say to you, then they can talk you through it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead
give
of you,
give
you saying, oh, right. And now we've got 23 states now that have passed a mandatory arrest or report. Like Wisconsin just passed one last week where if they come out and there's a domestic and there are bruises, the officer has to actually make a report of why, and he has to provide evidence or statement as to why he did not make an arrest, why nothing
cool.
happened, because they want to document why they're going out to these situations and nothing's happening, and then you turn around 2 weeks later and someone got shot. Well, and it turns out the cops were there the week before and nothing happened. Well,
so it's
they
really
were
holding them accountable.
Yes, and that's what it should be. I mean, yeah, it's not their job to read our minds and know that this is what's going on, but if they know something happened and they walk away, or they know something happened and they don't believe you or do anything about it, and then you die 2 weeks later, they should be accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And there are so many cases out there like this that they do. They come out for calls and somehow, you know, it doesn't stop them.
Yeah.
You know, especially right before, you know, you're going to file for divorce. That's a very dangerous time. And a lot of times when we're filing for divorce, there's a lot of heated emotions going on, and we don't realize the things that we say could actually come back and haunt us. So that's where protecting yourself by not saying a word to your abuser and creating this documentation before you actually even file for divorce, that way the police then too, or the courts, will know that there's been something in place.
Yes. And then the smart thing was giving it to someone else so it's safe.
And finding out who that safe person is, and somebody that is not connected, and, you know, either a family member or a domestic violence advocate. You know, too, what I'm really looking forward to is bringing this evidentiary affidavit to the domestic violence organizations in my area, and which, you know, you can do in your area too. But what I've found is they're very interested, and they've never seen anything like it. It blows me away, and I think, okay, so you're a trained advocate that's out there helping people, but you really don't know how to establish some sort of a testimony. So I think that is going to be an awesome place that we're going to go with this, and getting every single advocate on board so that when a victim does call, that case manager isn't overloaded with having to fill out paperwork and documentation. It puts the accountability onto the victim to protect themselves, but with the information and the education along the way.
Tracy, this is Marie. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Star.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that's an incredible idea. The more people that know, the more awareness, the more we can get this out here and educate the public.
I think, Tracy, I think, remember what we were talking about earlier, that we're going through a generation right now. And this generation is, when I was younger, they didn't talk about domestic violence or anything. And I came from old school, very Italian. And if you brought home the money and your house payment was taken care of, you just keep your mouth shut and be a good girl, right? Then we came to the generation of raising the awareness. Okay, great. We got the raising of the awareness out there, and we've got that going because everybody knows about Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and woohoo, we're not the brand new thing on the market anymore. And now we're in the next generation, and now we have a ton of advocates out there. However, they don't have Susan's tools because we're lagging from one generation going into the next. We've told everybody to leave. Now everybody's leaving. Now we have all these advocates, but we don't have the tools, and so we're going into the next generation. And I think Susan knew. She and this is what she did. She prepared you. She prepared you, Tracy. And it's just crazy. I don't know what I did there, but it's crazy how it's just all worked out. And so going into the next generation of learning, okay, and now we have Susan's tools to go forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Am I there?
Yes, you're there now. I wasn't sure what happened.
Good.
Go ahead.
I lost the call by accident. Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly where we need to go, is what do we do next? You know, we get safe. We're out of there. But then we're left with all this baggage. And how do we heal from that? And how do we move forward? And what my passion is for me and going through everything that I've gone through is it's my responsibility to heal and recover and overcome for my kids' sake. And my kids need to see that I can do that, so that when they are ever in a tough situation, and there's going to be those times, whatever it may be, they will know how to cope with it. And they'll know how to express their feelings in healthy ways versus the dysfunction that maybe they were brought up with or had experienced, you know, earlier. And that's really to me, you know, probably what fueled this whole little fire under here that I have, is that it's I'm going to do everything it takes so my kids have the knowledge and they have the tools to have healthy relationships and communication and know how to get through those tough times.
Well, that brings us up to, we have 10 minutes before the end of the show, and I want to introduce your audience to what is going to be your opening song. We heard today Pacho Bantan's song, Save Your Soul, and that's Solstice to Enterprises' main theme song. But Tracy, your show is going to have its own theme song, and it is written, or I'm not sure if it's written by her, but it's performed by Tammy Arnhem. And Tammy was Mrs. U.S. Globe in 2002, and this is when she introduced the song to me, and I just fell in love with it because it is the platform and the foundation of our ambassador program under Four International. And it is really, if it's not you, Tracy, who is it going to be? And 8,000. And as you know, Susan just passed away October 28th of 2012. But this song, I see Susan and her face written all over it. And we're going to be doing an amazing slide presentation to it. So I want your audience just to relax and star. Thank you so much, because I know that God's timing is amazing, and we've been introduced to each other quite a number of times, and we've always connected but disconnected and never the right time, and it's just such a blessing to have
you.
It's
amazing when things fall into place like this.
It truly, truly is. So, Star, thank you so very much, because I know the power behind your voice is amazing. And again, I want you and Tracy and your listening audience, both on archive and on listening or on live, just to sit back and relax. And if you know Susan Murphy Milano, then you will see her face in the middle of this song. Because if it's not for us, and if it's not for you, Tracy, and if it's not for you, Star, to amplify what it is that we're producing, who will it be? So please enjoy Tracy's new opening song, If Not For You, by Tracy Arnhem. Tracy, who will it be? And I really believe that our beautiful Susan, she knew, and that is why she spent so much time with you. And I am blessed that you and I have connected, and that Delilah has given us her blessing and permission for you to be Susan's voice. So take it away. You've got 5 minutes, my beautiful friend.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Susan has passed on a special gift, and if I can help save one life, I did my job. But I plan on saving many more. The work that Susan does is so powerful, and if anybody can just take the time and just learn a little bit about her and her story. Her book, Holding My Hand Through Hell, is her biography. You can find it at Ice Cube Press or at DocumentTheAbuse.com. And I intend on moving forward, teaching everybody I can, and moving on to a healing and recovery process to have a fulfilling life, free from violence and dysfunctional and toxic thinking. So that's what I'm here to do, and I'm happy to have callers. If people want to call in each week, I would love to talk with you and hear what you have to say and share a little. Monday at 5:00. Thank you again, and Maria, or Star, are you still there?
Yes.
Star, would you be interested in coming back and sharing more and talking with us again next week? I would love to have you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, Maria, help me out.
Yes,
here.
Yes, go ahead. I'm here. Go ahead.
Our last 4 minutes.
I'm really, really excited about everything and how it's all going. And Star, I'm excited about you taking on the hosting, co-hosting position, and how great that's going to be. And Tracy, when we get together and to do this slideshow for Susan, it will be the slideshow that opens your part of your speaking engagement in September. So I will let the audience know to save the date that we are going to have a women's conference and a fashion show and a beautiful ball that all of our the daughters of the king, we are princesses, and we get to dress up and we get to go to a ball in a castle here in Southern California, and that will be the weekend of September 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And Tracy will be speaking, and we will open up with the slideshow and Tammy's beautiful song. So, Tracy, why don't you share with the audience where they can get a hold of you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. That's your best bet, and you can find me at Facebook/ Tracy Andrews Murphy, and then you can also find me at the, I have a page called the Evidentiary Abuse Affidavit, which is Facebook.com/ Evidentiary Abuse Affidavit, and actually I think you can type in Facebook.com/EAA.
And you also have a brand new Facebook page called Safety First is Murphy's Law. And you will be able to find out all of her about Tracy's shows.
That's right.
And yeah,
thanks
we just
to you,
opened
Maria.
It up today. Yay, we're going to move forward. So,
That was between that and then the event that Star created. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw Star. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that, Star.
Yeah, she got us rocking and rolling today. But between the both of you, we're ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, Star, thank you so much.
Thank you for all your support.
And Tracy, thank you. And we will see you all next week on Soul Sister Monday here on Soul Sister Radio with Safety First is Murphy's Law. You take care, and we will see you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.